He's John Rees, he's going to speak to the Stop the War Coalition and National.
I don't know whether you saw the BBC poll yesterday. It was a poll conducted across 35 countries. 41,000 people were interviewed, and its results were this. That a majority, and this must be by any calculation, a majority of the world's population, think that the war on terror has made the world a less safe, not a more safe place. They think that the invasion was wrong, and in very large numbers of those countries, 20 out of the 35, they think that the troops should get out now or very soon. So the truth of the matter is, people have seen through the lies of their government. Millions of people have seen that the things that we were told about the attack on Afghanistan, about the attack on Iraq, were profoundly, deliberately misleading, that the consequences of those things have not been either peace or an end to terrorism, or democracy. And they'll ask me again as we come up to what is now the 12th national demonstration called by the Stop the War Coalition. Why do you continue to march? And my answer to them is this. So long as they continue to kill, I will continue to march. Because the tragedy of this situation is that neither the war and invasion of Afghanistan nor the war and invasion of Iraq is the end of the story. It is by definition, by Donald Rumsfeld's definition, a war on terror, and a war on terror by definition has no end and no boundary. Why does it have no end? Because at the end of every normal war, of every normal conflict, no matter how destructive, there is the possibility, either by victory or by agreement, that two sides will sit down and end that war. But by definition, there can never be a war on terror in the war on terror, where they sit down with the other side and agree that the war is over. And the American military machine and the American administration and the corporations behind them know that this is deliberately, purposefully, a war without end. Because if they can invent a war, as they invented the war on Iraq, where a country has no identifiable, no conceivable, in fact, no connection with the terrorist attack on the World Trade Center, then it must be the case that any country, no matter how terrorism, the home of terrorism, the home of terrorism, the home of terrorism, whether or whether it is not, in actual fact, connected with terrorism. And so it is a war without boundary. A capricious war. A war simply decided upon not for the purposes of stopping terrorism, not for the purposes of advancing democracy, but simply because the most powerful countries in the world, and think that they can simply blow their way into those countries in order to steal their industry and their resources. And that is the truth about the attack on Iraq. But if there is one thing more dangerous than the war and occupation in Iraq, it is the consequences of the war and occupation in Iraq. Because the consequence, or one of the consequences, is this: never dreamt of, never imagined, in the worst nightmares of the Pentagon planners and the people in the British Ministry of Defence. The consequence has been this: that even in the stooge elections, even in the set-up elections, even in the elections conducted under foreign military occupation, even with the boycott of those elections by very large numbers of Iraqis, still the Iraqi people have elected a government which is actually in large part sympathetic to the other axis of evil just over the border in Iran. Yeah. Right. So the consequence is an arc of pro-Iranian states in the Middle East. The consequence of bringing democracy, what has leapt from the Pandora box of the Iraqi war, is an arc of countries. And a series of elections. Hamas elected to the leadership of the Palestinian Authority. Hezbollah, now in the Lebanese cabinet. This is a nightmare for the Americans. And it means not only have they not invaded and successfully quelled Iraq, but they now have been responsible, and I believe this to be the case, the person who elected the hardline government in Iran is George Bush. He was the person that made sure that the Iranian people would elect such a government by the invasion of Iraq. And what is the response of the American and British governments to this catalogue of disasters? What is their instinctive response? To threaten Iran with military action. How mad can it get? How insane can it get that after this disaster you threaten Iran? Iran is not a broken country. It has not already gone through one war as Iraq did. It has not gone to 12 years of sanctions as Iraq did. It is in possession of its own nuclear program. How insane does this have to be before we say enough of this, get out of Iraq and stop threatening Iran? Absolutely insane colonial project, and the people of the world have realised how nakedly this project is going on. And I'll tell you one thing, it's not just about what happens in the Middle East. Because if to justify this war, you reach for the argument that there is some other group of people, some clash of civilizations, that it's the West against the rest, that it's the West against Islam. If that's your justification, not actually because you hate Muslims, but because the Muslims are living on top of the oil, if you reach for this justification, if you scapegoat another people's religion, other people's culture, in order to justify your war and your occupation, as you must, because the only logic for still being there is that these people, unlike us, can't run their own affairs. This is the old colonial mantra. This is the British in India. This is the British in Ireland. This is the old colonial story, that they can't run their own affairs. But it's worse than that, because if those people there are like the same people here who share their religion, then you have to end up not just scapegoating those people there, but you end up scapegoating the same people here. So they're not just ripping the heart out of the cities of Basra and Baghdad. They're not just planning to rip the heart out of cities like Tehran. They're ripping the heart out of Bradford and Leeds and Manchester and here in Tower Hamlets because they are scapegoating a section of our own communities. So because we don't want an attack on Iran, and because we want an end to the scapegoating of the Muslim community here, we say this war project, this war program has to end. So be there on March the 18th. There will be people in every continent of the globe marching against war on March the 18th. Partly because of the work that we did. First of all in the Cairo conference, and then in the London Peace Conference last December, because of the links that we made with the Iraqi people. There will be, organised by the Southern Oil Workers Union, whose General Secretary spoke at the London Peace Conference, a peace demonstration in Basra, in the face of a British occupying army. And there will be, organised by the Al-Sadr organisation, demonstrations in Baghdad at the same time, because of the contacts that we made. So that day, even more than the 15th of February 2003, will be an internationally coordinated day of action. At the World Social Forum, Hugo Chavez was extended the hand of friendship from the Venezuelan Revolution to the people threatened in Iran, has called for those demonstrations to be global demonstrations. You cannot live through an age when the world tilts on its axis. You cannot live through an age when renewed threats of racism and scapegoating arise in the heart of your own community. You cannot live through an age when the mightiest powers in the world want to persecute and tread on the faces of the poorest people in the world and not rise off your seat, go out into the streets and march to stop the war. Thank you very much.